Welcome, everybody, back to Kick Sugar Addiction Summit. Today we have with us Dr. Larry Wilson, who is a world-renowned nutritional consultant, physician, researcher, and author. He earned his Bachelor's of Science degree from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology in Boston and was awarded his medical degree from the University of Autonoma del Estado de Guerrero, Mexico. For the past 35 years, Dr. Wilson has worked as a private consultant perfecting the science of nutritional balancing. He's the author of 4 books and 20 CDs on the topic of health and nutrition. He trains and teaches other physicians and nutritional consultants on how to heal the body through nutrition and supplementation. He maintains a website with over 1,300 articles at no cost to the public, as well as a nonprofit foundation that supports young women and children who would otherwise not be able to afford his services. I have invited him to be here today to discuss his unique biomedical point of view on the topic of sugar addiction, and equally important, to share his approach to helping sugar addicts recover from their often very serious and sometimes seemingly incurable diseases. We know now from the research that if we are overeating sugar and other refined carbohydrates, sooner or later we will develop health issues. And fortunately for us, helping us reverse the damage and restore our health is Dr. Wilson's area of expertise. Dr. Wilson has worked with over 50,000 patients and currently is focused on training other healthcare practitioners to use his nutritional balancing protocols in their practice. Dr. Wilson is a member of the National Health Federation and the American Naturopathic Medical Association. Welcome, Dr. Wilson.
Thank you.
So my first question is, could you tell us a little bit more about yourself, or is there anything you wanted to add to your bio and how your work applies to our topic at hand?
Well, I will certainly say that I had sugar addiction.
You did?
And that it's gone. Oh, yes. I remember in college grabbing a case of Coca-Cola, and in those cases they were large pallets, putting it under my bed. And we would go shopping and we would buy cookies and soda pop and other things every week. It was just part of life. And when I started in learning about nutrition, the first thing I learned about was sugar. But it wasn't easy to quit. I remember that. It wasn't easy. And I took up eating fruit instead of eating, soda pop. But that wasn't much better. That was not much better. It had some, fiber in it and a little more nutrition, but it still caused many problems, including tooth problems. And I had a terrible rash on my neck. And I remember going to a very famous doctor at one time, and I was in my 20s. And they told me there was nothing that could be done about this rash because it was in my family, they so told me. And I quit the sugar, and amazingly, the rash went away. Now, I still had trouble, but I quit the soda pop. Let's put it that way. I didn't quit all sugar. And the rash went away. That was amazing to me. That was just amazing to me. And so I do know about sugar addiction from personal experience. And certainly, we work with many people, and it can be slowly overcome. It's not usually the kind of thing that goes away overnight. But it certainly can be overcome. I don't have any of that problem anymore.
Right. I find it so interesting that so many of my guest speakers have walked this path and recovered and have turned around and built their careers around helping others with this issue. And I know for you, you help many, many people with all different kinds of issues. But how did you kick the sugar addiction yourself? Like, how did you find recovery?
I would say that it's a step-by-step process, and I floundered along because for the first 10 years that I was involved in nutrition and health, I didn't know about the system that I'm using now, which is called nutritional balancing, or it's called development science, which heals the body at very deep levels. So I would try things. I remember there was a little shop that sold ice cream, homemade ice cream, and I had to walk by it every day when I was going to college. I had to walk by, and I would put prunes in my mouth, and I'd be sucking on the pit so they wouldn't go in for ice cream. And I'd put an apple in my mouth. But that really didn't really get rid of the problem. It did help me not to eat as much ice cream, but it was a slow process. It wasn't until I discovered the work of Dr. Paul Ak, called nutritional balancing, or mineral balancing, called it. And he talked about the fuel system of the body. And he explained that your body has a fuel system exactly like a car. You know, a car has a gas tank, and it has a fuel line, and a fuel pump, and a fuel filter. And all those things have to work right, or you don't get the fuel. You don't get the fuel into your body correctly. Well, you're into the car, at least. Well, the body has the same system. It has a whole bunch of steps. And those steps are the processing of sugar. And you have to eat the food, digest the food. It goes to your liver. Then it goes to your cells. It has to go into the cells through the cell membranes. It has to go into what's called the mitochondria, and it has to get burned there. And all those steps have to work fine. If they don't work well, you crave sugar. It's very important to understand that. If those steps do not work right, you will crave sugar because your body's starving.
Wow.
That's only one reason for sugar addiction, but that's an important one. And those steps require a lot of nutrients. And if you have toxic metals in your body, which everybody does these days, then it poisons the step. You know what I mean? It'll affect the cell membranes. It'll affect the liver. It'll affect digestion or absorption, or something else, or it'll affect the mitochondria. So the body has these little steps, and I call it the fuel system. And any problem in there, and you end up with sugar craving. And as you correct those steps, little by little, mostly with the right diet, with a lot of minerals in it. And the only food that I found that really provides that is cooked vegetables, just so you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a few other things we use. We use kelp capsules, we use bone broth, and we use sea salt. But the cooked vegetables is a big one. And when you do that, you slowly, it's like putting back the parts of a car. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like replacing the fuel filter, replacing the fuel pump, replacing the fuel line. And all of a sudden, the fuel system starts to work better. Because you know that sugar is your fuel. At one level, it's the fuel of the body. It's one of the fuels.
Right, right.
So you have to fix that system. And that's just one cause of sugar addiction.
Right.
But that's a very important cause. That's a very important cause. And so I'm sure that I had that problem. And as that system gets put back, minerals like zinc, manganese, chromium, especially those, sometimes vanadium a little bit, but we don't give that one. The whole system starts to work right again. It's not unlike going to a car mechanic and your car isn't feeding the gas right, you know, it isn't getting its fuel, and he takes out the fuel filter and replaces it, and maybe the fuel pump is not working right, and he replaces it, and all of a sudden it works. And the car's like new again, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So
that's a very important cause of sugar addiction.
Right.
That I'm sure I had. Another very important cause is yeast problems.
Right.
And I had a lot of antibiotics as a child, as did many people.
Mm-hmm.
They cause the growth of yeast in the intestines, and even worse in your brain.
Right.
And when you have that, the fuel for the yeast is sugar. The fuel for the yeast is sugar. And so you can become addicted to sugar so easily because the yeast wants to eat. And if the yeast doesn't get its sugar, it gets very unhappy. And there's an addictive process where yeast produces alcohol. And I don't know if your other guests have explained all this. Have they?
No, they haven't. This is completely, I think, a completely unique point of view on this topic.
Oh, this is an incredibly important part. You see, once you have yeast in your body, which many, many, many people do, all you have to do is take antibiotics, birth control pills, steroid pills, that's cortisone, prednisone, dexamethasone, for any reason at all, and you don't have to be taking those your whole life, but having taken antibiotics, it kills off certain good bugs, and yeast tends to grow in there, and other imbalances. Well, the yeast produces alcohol. And so you walk around all day, all night, all the time, slightly inebriated. You don't realize that you get used to it. Mm-hmm. Some people know it, and they call it brain fog. They know they're a little spacey. But you know what? They come to accept that. They come to accept millions of people. And so I'm sure I had that too. And what happens is, if you ever try quitting sugar, the yeast starts dying off, you stop producing alcohol, and you go through alcohol withdrawal. And if you know anything about alcoholism, you know that alcohol withdrawal is horrible. Horrible. You ever heard of that?
Yeah.
Alcohol withdrawal?
For sure.
There's a name for it in the medicine. They call it delirium tremens. Delirium tremens, because people tremor. That means they shake all over. They feel horrible. They feel awful. Alcoholics have to go into a rehab center, and they literally lock them up in a cell. And they say, you're going to suffer for a couple days when we give you no alcohol. And they do. It's horrible suffering. And if they get through that, then they're all right. But people don't realize this, that you get the same thing with sugar. You try quitting sugar, all of a sudden you feel horrible. You feel horrible. You can shake all over. You can get anxious and nervous and depressed and suicidal. And so that can be due to alcohol withdrawal. And so most people, when that happens, they say, oh, my God, I guess I have to have it. And back they are to sugar.
Right.
So that's just another mechanism, completely different. Completely different than the fuel problem.
Right.
But it's a very important one. And I'm sure I had some of that because, you know, if you don't eat your sugar, you just start feeling miserable.
Right.
You see?
And how would people know if they've got an issue with yeast in their gut or their brain?
Well, I assume that they do. When I work with people, we don't do tests for it. You could do a test. You could get a stool sample. And they have these ones where they will test your stool, and they'll look for yeast in it. And a lot of people, they find it. Now, you can also have the yeast in your brain, though.
Right.
And you can't find that one, not in a stool sample.
Right.
It's very hard to find that one.
Right.
And that's very common. That's very common. So the stool test, which is an expensive test, and it's not always perfect, because what they do is they cut up your stool. You give them a sample, and they cut it, and then they look in a little piece of it because they can't look at the whole thing. That would take weeks, you know what I mean, or days to do that. So they only look at a little piece, and they hope they're going to find something there. But those tests are not that accurate because they can't look at everything.
Right.
So, and then the other problem is you can have it in your brain, and there they can't find it.
And if you can't play devil's advocate with that, we can't find it, how do you know it's there? Like, what makes you confident?
Well, I'll tell you what a lot of people have. Probably half of our clients complain of brain fog. Brain fog isn't even a medical diagnosis. It is not an official disease.
Right.
And if you go to your doctor and you say, you know, I'm feeling like I have mental fog or mental clarity, a lack of clarity. It's not dementia exactly, you know what I mean? But things are kind of cloudy. They usually tell you, you must be depressed or something, and here, take a drug. But they don't really look for the cause of that. But a lot of times it's yeast in your brain. Spacey. Some people feel spacey. Some people are just a little forgetful. Some people just don't do tasks very well, you know. Their brain works slowly. People tell us all this. They say, yeah, my thinking is kind of slow. Young people today, it's everywhere. And they're actually born with it. That's a whole topic we could talk about, is being born with sugar addiction or the tendency for it. And that's because they're born with a lack of manganese, zinc, chromium. They're born with toxic metals like copper. Copper causes yeast problems. In all cases. And so this can start when you're very, very young.
Right.
I call it the slaughter of the innocents.
Right.
Because it really does start with babies today. And then you add to that, you know, medical drugs like antibiotics, vaccines make it much worse because they have toxic metals in them. And then you add parents who reward their children with sweets, right? When they're good, they give them sugar. And then they go to the doctor and they give them sugar if they're quiet, right? I was at our school, the local elementary school, full of sugar, little bowls of sugar, little candy bowls, mm-hmm. all over the school. Mm-hmm. All over the school. The teachers did, brought them in.
Yeah.
So the children get exposed, and then the children's foods, the Fruit Loops and all that stuff, the Hostess Twinkies, they're all full of sugar.
Yeah.
And they do that so the children will eat it. Well, that all makes the problem worse, right? It all makes it worse. Anyway, but the yeast problem is hard to detect. It can be hard to detect. That's why I don't bother with it. I just assume everybody has it. I just say, yeah, we have to assume you have it. And so we start fixing it. And to fix that problem, you have to fix copper metabolism in the body. Copper metabolism. Are you aware that they spray copper on fields? Copper sulfate is used on crops to kill yeast. That's what they use it for.
Okay.
They put it in swimming pools. They put it in hot tubs. And I once read in the newspaper that in Oregon, which has a lot of rain, they didn't get enough rain, and there was a lot of yeast and mold growing in the reservoirs, and they had to spray it all with copper to kill it off, because the water was just sitting, you know what I mean? It wasn't mm-hmm. flowing.
Right.
And copper, if you have good copper in your body, you kill off your yeast. Yeast cannot grow. Otherwise, people get on these candida diets. You've heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
And they have to restrict their diet, and it's awful, and it's a terrible diet all the time, and it doesn't work, because as soon as they break the diet, which many people do, you know, we all get our cravings,
mm-hmm.
The yeast comes back.
Mm-hmm.
That's because they didn't fix the copper metabolism. They didn't fix the copper metabolism. And the copper metabolism has to do with weak adrenal glands, and that's another cause of sugar addiction, weak adrenals.
Right.
Another mechanism, completely different mechanism. People with weak adrenals have chronically low blood sugar. And I know we're wandering here into different, we're getting off on different tangents. But that's a third mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
The first mechanism we talked about was the energy pathway. That's called the energy pathway. It's all the steps that your body has to do to get sugar into the cells, you know, glucose.
Mm-hmm.
The second mechanism we said was, I don't know, what was the second mechanism we said? Was the
toxic
yeast,
metal,
right?
Yeast.
Yeast.
Yeah.
Was the yeast problem, which is a alcohol addiction. It's a slight alcohol addiction, but it's real. Well, a third one is weak adrenals, and you get low blood sugar, chronic low blood sugar. You cannot maintain your blood sugar properly because the adrenals, what's called the glucocorticoids. Are you familiar with that word?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Glucocorticoids, that's cortisone and cortisol. Those maintain your blood sugar. That's their job. And when the adrenals are weak, you can't maintain your blood sugar. So you end up with low blood sugar. When you end up with low blood sugar, you want sugar. You want to eat sugar.
Right.
So that's a third, entirely different. I mean, they're kind of related because they're all to do with mineral deficiencies, toxic metals, and other damage to the body. But it's a third mechanism of sugar addiction. And so correcting the copper metabolism is necessary to permanently end the yeast problem. Also, yeast is what we call a yin disease. It's a cold disease. Yin in Chinese medicine is cold. And in order to help that, you have to warm up the body, which is a Chinese medicine concept. It's not a Western particular concept, or macrobiotics, they talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to make the body more what we call yang. Yang is warm, and yeast doesn't like that. It doesn't grow very well in it. And we do that with meat and cooked food. Vegetarians and raw food people, they get yeast often, okay? So we don't do that. The diets, you have to have animal protein every day. Now, not too much, no more than twice a day, no big portions, 4 to 5 ounces. But you need the animal protein, and you need cooked vegetables, not raw. And by the way, cooked, you get a lot more minerals out of your vegetables from cooked. Human beings cannot break down vegetable fiber very well.
Mm-hmm.
Are you aware of that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't do very well. We're not a cow. Cow has 4 stomachs, even horses. They're much more adapted to eating grass. And vegetable fiber, but not human beings. No, no, no. Cooking is very helpful for that. You get a lot more minerals. We find anybody who likes to live on salads ends up demineralizing their body. Demineralizing. You simply don't get enough good out of it. Not only do those animals have, you know, three or four stomachs, but they throw up their food and they chew the cud, right? That's a cow.
Mm-hmm.
And they spend all day chewing that stuff. If we did that, we could do it, but we don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, today most people are in a hurry. They hardly chew their food at all.
Right.
So it's very important that people eat the cooked vegetables and animal protein. Some grains are okay, but people with a real sugar addiction problem sometimes have trouble with grains. They can get addicted to bread and rice and potatoes and all that because it breaks down to sugar,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's a related addiction, and we all know people like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are some countries that are like that in Europe. Everybody eats bread. They just live on it. Of course, America, we're not too different.
Right.
But anyway, that's a whole other reason. But anyway, that has to do with the yeast problem and correcting the yeast. You have to correct the copper metabolism. It's more work. It's more work. It's not just taking something to get rid of copper. You need the bioavailable copper, and it will kill your yeast, just like it kills it in swimming pools, hot tubs, and when they spray it on crops.
Mm-hmm.
It's added to many pesticides and fertilizers. There's another reason for sugar addiction, and that's psychology. We mentioned that briefly, that some people think that if they're a good person, they should eat sugar, because that's what their parents taught them. When you're a good little boy or little girl, you get some candy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that continues into adulthood for many people. And they consider it comfort foods, right?
Right.
And they literally feel better when they eat it. They literally feel like, yeah, I guess I'm a good person. And that's straight, whatever you call it, conditioning, Pavlovian conditioning.
Right.
That's psychology. And that's not easy to break for some people. Every time they were good, their parents gave them ice cream, for example. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And many parents do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only tell parents, please don't do that. Don't reward your children with sugar.
Right.
They all like it, but don't reward your children with sugar, because you're setting them up for a sugar addiction later in life.
Right.
And they don't realize why.
Or even right away.
Yeah, or even right away.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a whole nother reason for sugar addiction.
Right.
Now, I don't know. Did I get off subject here?
No. I was. I know you have an article on your website all about your thoughts on sugar addiction. So I noticed that you had one section that was all about the psychological component, and then you had the physical component. So causes of physical addiction to sugar. You had nutrient deficiencies, toxic metal excesses, weak adrenal glands, diabetes or hypoglycemia.
Yes. Now that's another problem.
Yeah.
A lot of people have diabetes and don't even realize it, or hypoglycemia.
Right.
We mentioned hypoglycemia in connection with the adrenal glands.
Right.
But actually, diabetics, and by the word, hypoglycemia is the wrong word in a sense, because hypoglycemia means low sugar in the blood.
Mm-hmm.
Anything with anemia at the end, emia,
mm-hmm.
like hypoglycemia, that means blood.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem is not your blood. The problem is your cells. And I don't even know what you would call that. Low cellular sugar. But that's what causes sugar craving. Low sugar in the blood, yeah, maybe that'll do it, but it's the sugar in the cells. But what people don't realize is when you have diabetes, which is too much sugar in your blood, the sugar is not getting into your cells. It's not getting into your cells. Insulin moves sugar from your blood to your cells. That's
right.
What insulin does, the hormone.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have diabetes, a lot of people, the insulin, either you don't have enough or it doesn't work right, and you don't get the sugar into your cells. So they have the same situation. as hypoglycemic people, they don't have sugar in their cells. They're starving. They're starving, even if they're big and heavy.
Right.
And I don't know if you know the figures, but the figures are shocking on diabetes. You know,
tell me.
There are 20-30 million diagnosed diabetics in America.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are all the people that are undiagnosed. There are all the people that are undiagnosed diabetics. And diabetes is not that easy to diagnose. Did you know that?
No.
Not that easy. No. Why? Because you need a 4 or 5 hour glucose tolerance test to diagnose it properly. And that test is expensive, and you have to sit in a laboratory for 4 hours or 5 hours. You have to drink some sugar. The way you do that test is you drink some sugar and sugar water, and then they test your blood every hour, and they see what it's doing. And it's very that's a kind of an unpleasant test. And so doctors don't bother with it a lot of times. They try to use a blood test, but the blood test is inaccurate. And the reason it's inaccurate is because it depends when they get you. And if they get you, let's say, early in the morning, before you have had breakfast, which they often want you to come in, then your blood sugar may look normal. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So they miss a lot of diabetes. Now, there are signs of diabetes, like you urinate too much. And you may urinate at night, for example. You may get dehydrated. But a lot of people have that, and they just drink more water, and they go to the bathroom a lot, and they figure, well, I drink a lot of water, so I go to the bathroom a lot.
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of undiagnosed diabetics around. I don't know what the estimates are, but it's in the millions and millions of people.
Right.
And that's from eating sugar, by the way.
Is there a
Those people all love sugar.
Right.
They all have sugar addiction.
Wow.
That's just another cause of the problem. It's
right.
all related to mineral deficiencies, which everybody has today, and toxic metals. Are you aware that our food today has much less minerals, like 1% of what it had 100 years ago?
1%? No, I didn't know it was that low.
That's right. You can get a book. There's a book called Empty Harvest by Bernard Jensen and someone else, and it details all this. What they did was they looked at the USDA, that's the U.S. Department of Agriculture, statistics on the nutrient content of foods from 100 years ago, and they compared it to today. And today the food has, you know, 10%, 20%, but some of it is less, 5% of what it did 100 years ago. So even if you eat good food, even if you eat natural food, whole food, organic food, your body is starving for minerals.
Right. Where did you come up with the 1% then?
Well, some of them are that bad.
Oh, I see. That's not an average. That's the lowest.
Yeah, that's not an average. I'd say maybe 10%, 20%, but that's horrible.
Right.
That's horrible, and some of it is worse. And the reason is what's called the Green Revolution. And the Green Revolution is where you use all these pesticides and fertilizers called superphosphates, and they're growth stimulants, so they grow 10 times as much food on the same acre of land. The same acre of land, they grow 10 times as much food, sometimes
right.
more. Well, the problem is we don't put all the minerals back on the food, so the food has less minerals.
Or back into the soil, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's more starchy, and it's often bigger and fatter, so are the people, and it doesn't have the minerals.
Mm-hmm.
The food is not what it was. It is not what it was.
Right.
Some people know this. Some old people know this. And the farmers, they like the new food because it's big and fat, and they sell it by the pound.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's all right with the farmers, at least the farmers who don't understand. The farmers who really understand are very sad about all this.
Mm.
But there are not very many of them. And the food is not what it was, and so everybody today is mineral deficient. And that's why we find we have to emphasize minerals in the diet, and we can't just take pills. It doesn't work. Something about the food is very special. And that's why we use the cooked vegetables again,
mm-hmm.
because those are the most mineral-rich foods there are, and specifically what's called the alkaline reserve minerals. And they're the ones you need for your sugar. Zinc, chromium, manganese in particular. There are some other ones, but, you know, those particular, zinc, manganese, chromium. Mm-hmm. We do use supplements, a little bit of supplements, but that's not enough. And there are some others that you just can't get in supplements. Mm-hmm. You know, there's other kind of strange minerals that the body needs a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They're called trace minerals and ultra trace minerals.
Mm-hmm.
And we use the cooked vegetables, we use bone broth, kelp capsules, because kelp is a natural food, but happens to be very rich in minerals, and natural sea salt, not Himalayan salt. A lot of people think that's a good one. Not that one.
Right.
Not Himalayan salt, but we like one called real salt.
Mm-hmm.
But your body needs iodine, and it needs all kinds of minerals.
Right.
And that is one of, if I had to give one big thing to do with sugar cravings, just doing a diet full of minerals like that is not necessarily enough, but it's a really good start.
Right. Right.
Really good start.
Yeah. So when someone has identified that they have an issue with sugar, and they've probably, if they're motivated to give it up, it's probably because a health issue has caught up with them, and they're like, okay, I really need to do something about this.
Yeah.
You know, and then they realize when they try and pull sugar out of their diet that it's easier said than done for many of us. It's quite the hook and quite the withdrawal and quite the detox process. And then it's somewhere in there, we often we just give up. We just think, oh, my gosh, I felt better on the sugar, to be honest. I'll see if I can just moderate it. And that kind of, right? You just try and negotiate with this addiction as opposed to just successfully wean yourself off of the sugar and then onto a diet that can restore the body. So I know you've worked with tens of thousands of people. Tell me about some of the successes you've seen with people who've come in very ill and have walked away well.
Well, as I say, it's usually a process.
Yeah.
And you want to start the diet immediately. You can still have your sugar if you have to have some.
Right.
But you've got to start replacing those minerals.
Mm-hmm.
And working on copper metabolism and working on yeast problems. And by the way, when you have taken antibiotics any time in your life, those need to come out of the body. Those need to come out of the body, and that can be done. You can detoxify those. We use a sauna made out of red heat lamps. It's a very inexpensive sauna. You can build one yourself. Red heat lamps that are sold at the hardware store for $10 each.
Mm-hmm.
And we use coffee enemas, and we use other methods to remove chemicals from the body, poisons. And one of the big ones are medical drugs. Vaccine poisons have to come out. They have to come out. You can't play with them. You'll never get well. If you don't get those antibiotics out, you're going to crave those sweets because you'll have yeast usually somewhere in the body, and it wants to eat sugar. So you want to get started on a program, even if you're doing sugar. The people can still get well. It slows it down, but it's all right if that's what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
You can use substitutes, of course. People can use things like xylitol, mannitol, sorbitol. Those are sugars that are not absorbed, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know about those.
Yep.
People use stevia, which is an herb. I believe it has a little lead in it. We don't really like that part. But it beats eating a lot of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it won't feed the yeast quite as well, some of these things, but it will satisfy the cravings if it's psychological. Do you see what I mean? In other words, it depends what your sugar craving is.
Right.
If your sugar craving is because you want to feel like a good person, then you could get by with, you know, xylitol or something, or stevia. If you're feeding yeast in your body and that's your sugar craving, well, the yeast wants real sugar, usually.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It doesn't want some substitute. Now, one thing we do not like are the artificial sweeteners, aspartame, Equal, Splenda. Those things are toxic chemicals, saccharin, and they can have other negative problems. So we have to clean those out of your body later. And those are not as good.
Mm-hmm.
The sugar alcohol, xylitol, mannitol, That's one of the best, if you've got to have something.
Right.
And so people can fool around with all this stuff. And, of course, you can eat less of it. You can eat less. For example, now a big rage is dark chocolate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bitter chocolate. And it is a little bit bitter because it has less sugar in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose from a sugar standpoint, it's better. We don't really want to encourage that, by the way. Some doctors, some holistic doctors tell you, oh, that stuff's great. It's an antioxidant, and, you know, you can have as much chocolate as you want. No, we don't find that to be the case. It's somewhat toxic. But I went through a phase, for example, when if I needed a sweet, I bought one bag of chocolate chips, dark chocolate chips, and I kept them in my freezer. And I would have a chocolate chip or two. I don't know if I should say that, because if I say that, everybody's going to go out and buy those things, right?
But you're talking about a transition phase, I'm assuming.
That's right. I'm talking about a transition. And that's what we're talking about. That was your question. How do you end all this? Well, I suggest you do a program with us. That's called the Nutritional Balancing Program. I work with I don't do anybody directly. I don't work with anyone directly. On my website, which is www.dr, like doctor, L Wilson, LWILSON.com, drlwilson.com. There's a list of practitioners around the world. There's about 120 of them, 110. And you work with any of those people, and they can all help. I set up the programs for them.
Mm-hmm.
I set up the programs, so I counsel them and advise them. And then I have some advanced students who also help them, the coaches. And so any of them will work. And they will put you on a program. We do require a mineral analysis. That tells us a lot about the body, and you can read about that. It's a hair mineral test. And for some reason, that test gives us the information we need. Blood tests do not. Blood tests are not good places to measure minerals. Are you aware of that?
No.
Yeah. Blood tests are not a good place to measure minerals. Do you know why?
Why?
Well, because the blood touches everything. The blood touches everything. It's very, very vital fluid. And so if your body starts getting low in, say, zinc, which most of the bodies are, your blood will steal, your body will move zinc out of the tissues and put it in the blood.
Right.
You know, it would
It'll always
steal.
Enrich the blood.
It'll enrich the blood, and your blood will look fine.
Right.
If you need manganese, same thing. It takes some manganese. Now, where does it take it from? Places like the hair, you see? Because your hair is a non-essential tissue. Matter of fact, it's more than non-essential. You're going to cut it off eventually.
Right.
It's what we call an excretory tissue, meaning if your body wants to, you know, get rid of something, it throws it in the hair. It knows it's going to get cut off. So we can find the problems much easier there. But if you look at someone's blood, the blood tends to be normal because it's too delicate, it's too important, and the body keeps it normal looking all the time, even if you're very sick. And by the way, we have that all the time with our clients. Many people will relate to this. They're feeling miserable, miserable, and they go for a blood test, and the doctor says, you know what? Your blood test looks good.
Right.
Have you ever heard of that?
Yep.
Yeah. Happens all the time. All the time. And the person walks away, and the doctor scratches his head. He says, well, I don't really know what's going on. Well, you know what? The hair tests don't look very good. I can tell you from doing lots of them. That's my specialty,
mm-hmm.
Hair mineral testing. I've written a book about it, and I've been doing it for 36 years. And I studied with a man. He reviewed, you know, 500,000 hair tests.
Wow.
I don't know if I've reviewed that many. But Dr. Eck, he was a pioneer of that particular test. Has to be done right, by the way. Has to be done right. Most of the time, it's not done right. They wash the hair. That won't work. The laboratory washes the hair. Most labs wash the hair. It won't work. It skews the test. It's not accurate enough. But anyway, we require that test. It's not an expensive test. And then the person will put you on a program. They're not expensive programs. It's a diet. It's about eight simple supplements, and it's these detoxification procedures. Coffee enemas, saunas, you don't have to do those, but they really speed up your progress. You don't have to if it's too much bother, but they really help. We love foot reflexology, and you can rub areas of the body like the liver and the pancreas and other areas related to your sugar. And we do a meditation exercise that's very powerful. We call it the pushing down exercise. You move energy from your head to your feet. And that may sound simplistic, but it really helps your health. It has to do with the fact that the human body is polarized. It's polarized. Moving energy down is very, very good for your health. And that's in the English language. When somebody is unhappy, we call them upset, uptight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mixed up, screwed up, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Beaten up. There's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. Because your energy starts going the other way. Your energy starts going the other way. We say people are calm down. Calm down, they say. They don't say calm up. They say calm down. And you feel better. And this exercise moves energy down. It's an ancient exercise. I didn't make any of this stuff up. Okay. None of this. I've just gathered methods that we find work very well because we don't want to waste people's time and we don't want to waste people's money.
Right.
We don't need to do millions of tests and we don't need to have you, you know, spending all day at this.
Mm-hmm.
But those procedures help you and then you slowly get better. And you find your sugar cravings go away. And sometimes we do give people extra chromium. For some reason, that really helps. Chromium helps get sugar into your cells. It works with insulin. Zinc, by the way, is needed to make insulin, to extend the action of insulin, and for the secretion of insulin. And doctors sell something called zinc insulin. It's long-acting insulin. That's what it is.
Wow.
But they don't emphasize, they don't tell you when you have diabetes or hypoglycemia, they don't emphasize how important these minerals are and that you're not going to get them out of your food. You're not going to get enough.
Right.
You need a diet very high in cooked vegetables. You got to have animal protein. And you need to take mineral supplements, too. Calcium,
so are you saying that someone who, let's say, they have overdone sugar and have become imbalanced, that there's it's not possible for them to become healthy following a vegetarian path?
We have lots of problems with our vegetarian clients. You know, some people, we just can't change them. Some people are Hindu, and it's a religious thing.
Mm-hmm.
Some people just don't want to kill animals for whatever reason, even though they don't understand that the animals agree to be used as food. That is a role for the animals. They don't understand that the animals agree. Certain animals have agreed at a deep level, at a soul level, to be that way. But anyway, it's harder to get well as a vegetarian. There's no question. In my opinion, it's harder to get well.
But it's possible.
Well, I suppose if you take enough pills. I happen to know of a holistic doctor, and he wrote a whole book about being a vegetarian and how wonderful it is. And you know that there are books out there like that. There are
a number
of books.
I know people who didn't thrive till they actually became vegetarian. Like really.
Well, that's
thrive.
Because they usually have food allergies. And they cut out all these foods, and so they felt a lot better. And there are a lot of people like that. But do they ever really get well?
Oh,
and
radiantly.
My experience is that they may think they're getting well.
Yeah.
You know, they may feel better.
I could point you to some people that are probably the healthiest, most radiant, alive, perfect health.
Well, I'll tell you what I have found. They don't live as long. They can do very well for a while, but the vegetarian diet tends to be deficient. And, of course, it depends how vegetarian they are.
Well, it depends what kind of vegetarian they are, too.
Yeah,
the ones I'm thinking of are high. They're high raw. They do lots of fresh.
Yeah, and raw is even worse. After a while, you don't get the minerals. You don't get the need. You don't get the vegetables. You don't get the minerals out of your vegetables. That's what we find. Now, you can get better, again, if you get rid of food allergies. I had this happen with one of my professional people who advises me. And he was getting older, and he wasn't feeling well, and he became a vegetarian. And oh my God, he said to me, oh my God, he says, I feel so much better. And I warned him. I said, don't do that. I said, don't do that. Because, yes, you feel better because you got rid of all that junk food and all that bread, sometimes other things, you know, not even vegetarian things or meat things, but you got rid of a lot of food that you were allergic to. You simplified your diet. That's all very good. But the vegetarian diet is deficient. And he went on that way for at least 10 years. Maybe it was 20 years. And then one day I got a call that he had actually committed suicide because he was getting dementia. And that was very sad. He was a very brilliant man. But you see, those diets are deficient. So I warn people against vegetarian. You may look great. You may feel great. I'll tell you something else about vegetarian that I learned. A lot of them cheat, and they don't tell you. It's like a philosophy. I could tell you a story about that. You ever heard of Norman Walker?
Yep.
Norman Walker wrote a whole bunch of books on vegetarian diets, diet and salad suggestions. He invented the Norwalk juicer. He wrote all kinds of material about cleaning your colon and all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this story was told to me by Paul Eck, my mentor. And he said that Norman Walker lived near where I live and near Phoenix here. And one day Paul Eck went into a steakhouse because he liked eating steak. And there was no room in the steakhouse. And they said, well, if you want, you can go in the back room. We got a little back room. And he went back there, and guess who was there chomping down on a steak? It was Norman Walker. Norman Walker. And Norman Walker realized when he got old, he was 100 years old at that time, by the way.
Yeah.
Because he did colonics every day. But he realized that you're not going to make it on just vegetarian food. You will not thrive. Human beings need some of the nutrients. For example, there's very few places to get zinc. Where are you going to get zinc in the vegetable kingdom? Do you know where?
No.
Pumpkin seeds. Pumpkin seeds have a little zinc in them.
Right.
But they don't have very much. And you'd have to live on pumpkin seeds. You'd have to eat a lot of them.
Right.
Whereas meat has zinc in it.
Right.
There's a chemical called carnitine. It's a very important chemical. Carnitine, L-carnitine. They sell it, you know, in the health food store.
I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah. And as I say, there's an author who wrote a very big book, a huge book on being a vegetarian, how wonderful it is. But I found out that he has to take $1,000 a month of supplements. $1,000 a month to keep going. And he doesn't say that anywhere in his book, because I got the book.
Right, right.
You see? So these people are deceiving you. These people are deceiving you. And you can look great, but a lot of them cheat. There's another nutrient, taurine, L-taurine,
mm-hmm.
Very important nutrient, very important nutrient. Guess where you find it? You find it in meat. You don't find it in the vegetable kingdom. So I warn people against all that.
Right.
Tell them, don't do that. You don't have to eat a lot of meat.
Yeah.
But the body does better on it. We also like sardines.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think that's a bad food. No, it's a very good food.
Right.
They're cooked right on the ship, very fresh. They're wild caught. Almost all of them are wild caught. They don't grow well in fish farms, which are junk food places.
Mm-hmm.
And most of your fish comes from there. And they're so small that they don't accumulate too much mercury.
Right.
Which is another problem with sugar cravings, metals like mercury. Mercury, along with copper, causes yeast problems. Mercury in the body.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, plus the fact that antibiotics have wiped out the friendly bacteria that would keep them in balance normally.
Well, the mercury kills it off.
Right.
Mercury is a germ killer. That's why they use it in fillings.
Right.
It does kill germs.
Right.
But it can kill off good ones, too.
Right.
Anyway, so but those are some things that we find, at least, mm-hmm. to be true.
Right.
And you have to be very careful these days. You have to be careful.
Right.
Too many people get better, and then they're promoting something. But they don't have a long-term view, and sometimes they're not as healthy as they say. They may be better than they were.
I just even think of the millions and millions. Like when you look at the beauty of people from India. Like,
yeah, but a lot of them are sick. Did you know that there's about 100 million diabetics in India?
I know, I get that.
Diabetes is
been...
a terrible problem in India.
Yeah.
Terrible, terrible, terrible. We have Indian clients. Otherwise, I wouldn't know that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know about those people.
No, no, and I am aware of that as well. But I just think about the work of Pottinger and Dr. Price and the face structure. And right, like, there's just so many – yeah, that there's many vegetarians that have no perfect...
Well, are you aware that Weston Price did not like vegetarian diets? And the Weston Price Foundation does not recommend vegetarian diets. Weston Price went all over the world looking for vegetarians.
Mm-hmm.
Are you aware of that? It's in his book.
No, I didn't. Well, I've read it, so I'm surprised I don't remember that, but I don't.
Well, you call the Weston Price Foundation. They'll tell you. They recommend lots of meat. Because Weston Price wanted to find vegetarians, and he found none. He only was interested in healthy people, you realize. He didn't want the sick ones.
No, that's right.
He did
all
not
about
find
people.
Any vegetarian tribes.
Right.
And he had to conclude that, you know what, it doesn't work.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, the lying vegetarians, and I worked for one once. This guy was a vegetarian, and he and I used to play racquetball, and he started falling down. He owned a health spa. And he ended up almost dead, and I ended up getting him a blood transfusion, which, of course, is like eating a lot of meat.
Mm.
And when he got well from the blood transfusion, he said, Larry, don't tell anybody it was a blood transfusion. Tell them I fasted, and I took my herbs, and I got well. And I couldn't believe it. I held on to his blood test, showing how anemic he was. He had pernicious anemia,
mm-hmm.
you know, from being a vegetarian. For years, I held on to it because he just lied to everybody, just lied.
Mm.
It made me angry.
Absolutely.
And the whole thing does. And Weston Price, he was totally anti-vegetarian. But some of these vegetarians are telling you, oh, yeah, well, Weston Price, he went around the world. No, he said no vegetarian. He was big on that. And all you have to do is call the Weston Price Foundation. They'll tell you. Weston Price.
Yeah, no, it wasn't my point wasn't about where he stood on that. It was just that what he looked for were the signs of people with properly
with good health.
Teeth and good health and
right.
spaced eyes and thick hair and beautiful skin and healthy and,
yes.
you know. And
matter of fact, he found that people would actually stop their wars. Tribes would be warring and fighting with each other. And when it was time for the animals, the migratory animals, you know, the birds or the beasts to come through or the fish, they'd stop their war. And they'd eat their meat. And then when it was over again, then they'd go back to making war.
Right.
That's how important it was, and they knew that.
Yeah.
I remember he has a picture in his book. Do you remember? It's of a lady holding a crab. It's a special crab. And she had walked, I don't know, 100 miles to get this crab. And it was for the young women so that they would have healthy children. You compare that to our prenatal care today, what a disaster.
Right.
What a disaster. They let the women eat anything they want. They give them a stupid vitamin pill that doesn't really have very much in it. And they tell them, okay, you're ready to have your baby now. But they don't enforce any of that. This tribe in Africa, you know, they would walk for miles to get this crab. It's one of the pictures in his book. So please be careful. Be careful with vegetarian and be careful with raw. Weston Price never particularly advocated that either. And by the way, he didn't advocate fermented either. Did you know that?
No.
The Weston Price people do. But now, Weston Price noticed that people fermented foods, but that's because they didn't have refrigerators. Are you aware that he lived his whole life, he lived before refrigeration?
Wow.
Before refrigeration.
Huh.
Yeah, 1900 and thereabouts. Refrigeration didn't come in until 1930, 1940. Before that, they had ice boxes. Most people haven't lived long enough to remember that, but there was an ice man. And a man would come to your house, and he would drop off a block of ice.
Hmm.
And you'd put it in a big insulated box. That's how they did it. And so, yeah, they had fermented food because that was the only way to keep the food.
Right.
But he was not a big advocate of that.
Right.
We find you have to be careful with that.
Right.
Very yin in Chinese, the fermented foods. Some are fine, like sauerkraut and some miso. some yogurt.
Yogurt,
but to just eat fermented food, no.
Right. So back to my question then. So people get on the protocol where you recommend whole food, meat, lots of cooked vegetables. Do you stand all, like no salads ever, or is that
we don't really recommend salads, and we don't recommend fruit at all.
Right.
It really upsets your blood sugar, and it's not the same fruit as it was 100 years ago.
Right.
Fruit is not fruit anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a whole article on the problems with fruit.
Right.
It tends to upset the body badly today. And I'm surprised that more people don't talk about that, because we find lots of problems. It causes diarrhea and constipation and hypoglycemia and all kinds of problems for people.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't recommend that. No, we prefer cooked vegetables mostly, some animal protein, a little dairy, and a little bit of grains, whole grains.
Right, right.
And little by little, people's health recovers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you've seen lots of miraculous, incurable things.
Well, we don't consider sugar addiction incurable by any means.
No, I meant the diseases sugar causes.
Yeah. Well, the diseases tend to get better, too. Yeah. Especially because if you stop the sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah. The sugar is indirectly, for one thing, it's missing its minerals, right? Refined sugar.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you eat unrefined sugar, you know, like sugar cane, it's better. But who eats that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sugar cane. But even then, it's too sweet. It's too yin in Chinese medicine and macrobiotic terms.
Can you get people who are too yang?
Not many, because usually the only type of people who are too young are toxic. And when they remove their toxic metals, some of them are more yang or chemicals, then they become yin too.
Mm.
So today, the bodies, and that has to do with the atomic bomb, which spread radiation all over, and there's other sources like power plants, nuclear power plants. It has to do with cell phones, cell phone towers, televisions, computers, which are spreading electromagnetics that are yin, has to do with all the chemicals on the earth,
mm-hmm.
not just the pesticides and the food chemicals, which are a couple thousand, but also other chemicals that we all are exposed to. You really can't even touch something these days without, you know, there are chemicals in the plastic and everything.
Right.
And it has to do with the mineral deficiencies. So a yin is everywhere, and so most of the bodies, most all the bodies are actually yin, we find.
Okay. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
Most of the disease is that way. And when the bodies become young, the diseases go away. The diseases, they just tend to melt away.
Mm-hmm.
We do something else, which is called development. Development is the development quickly of human abilities that, this is known in some cultures, Tibetan particularly, that the monks, if you ever read books about these people, they develop these human abilities, unusual abilities. They can see energy fields around people. They learn mental telepathy. They get other kinds of abilities. Have you ever heard of any of this?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And those are abilities, but you have to eat right, and you have to take care of yourself properly. And so we teach people how to do that. And one of the things that happens is your immune system gets stronger.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that happens. And so diseases go away. Diseases
right.
go away.
Right.
And so that's an advantage of the program we do also. It's called development. And that's a good place to, you know, finish this, that there's more than just nutrition.
Right.
Development is a little bit more. It's actually coming up with your genetic potential. It's discovering your genetic potential of what you can really do.
Mm-hmm.
You get smarter, for example.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the children on our program, the first time that happened, I remember being shocked. A mother and her daughter came in, and they came to see me because the little girl, she was about 7, she was getting sick all the time, you know, missing school and all that. And so we cleaned up her diet, put her on a few supplements, and they came back in a few months, and they said, yeah, we haven't been to the doctor as much, and we're not getting sick anymore. And I said, oh, that's nice. And then the mother said, and by the way, my child's grades went from D to A.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what? And she said, yeah, yeah. Somehow their brain is working better. And I realized that people can get smarter, too. Now, part of it is getting rid of that yeast in your brain, but it's more than that. It's more than that.
Right.
Once I did a hair test on a famous psychologist, quite a famous man, and he told me, he said, do my fiance. And she was in another city, and he said, just send her all the stuff. Get her hair sample and send her the vitamins, send her the food, whatever she needs. And I did. And do you know that after a month or two, she called me. She said, you're the first person I'm telling, but I can't marry that man. I can't marry him. She said, it's like a cloud lifted from my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, it just isn't right. I just know it.
Right.
She said, I don't know what to do. And I said, well, just be grateful, I guess, that your brain is working again.
Right.
And we have that comment a lot.
Yeah.
You can develop abilities.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, my background is the 12-step program, so I found my recovery through FA. And
What program?
It's a food addiction recovery program through the 12-step.
Oh, okay.
So hundreds of people come through our doors, and they come in sick. Diabetes, multiple medications, cancer, obesity, depression, anxiety, diverticulitis, gout, you name it. They've got it, right? Sugar does astonishing things, especially
yes,
when we eat it in the kinds of volumes that sugar addicts tend to.
Yeah.
And so we crawl into these rooms, and this particular program I was a part of, you're not allowed to talk for 90 days. You follow a food plan that's a whole food plan. And it's astonishing. It's absolutely astonishing.
Yeah, all these diseases go away, right?
Oh, completely. So this one guy...
Yeah, and you don't have to treat them, right? You don't have to...
Nothing. We did
nothing
special. All we did was follow a meal plan. And then, of course, we do the steps, which is really about this, you know, addressing the psychological...
Is it a 12-step type program?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
And what's it called again?
Well, there's eight of them in the world. The one that,
oh.
that I was a part of is FA, Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous.
Oh, okay.
Or
Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous. Okay.
Yeah, and there's RFA.
Well,
there's many,
12
many.
12 steps is a wonderful idea.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful idea.
Because
that, to me, is a spiritual program.
Yeah.
And that's better than just psychology.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I watched people come in 90 days later. They've lost 75 pounds, and they're off 10 of their 11 medications, and they're no longer diabetic after having been 30 years of diabetic.
Right.
So
isn't that amazing?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I know the power of whole foods, absolutely,
yes.
unequivocally. Yes. And I don't even know that we need to be – well, at least with this, we all followed the same food plan, and we all got the same results, more or less.
Sometimes
there was a little bit of tweaking. But
well, you know, I think the plan is probably good. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
See how it compares to what we do.
Well, it is a bit different. So here's what I had for breakfast. And an ounce or 2 ounces of oatmeal, depending on if you have to lose weight. You have 6 ounces of blueberries or one piece of fruit. And you have yogurt and 2 eggs.
That for breakfast?
That's correct. And we all complain. And we all lose weight. And we all get healthy. And then,
Well, there wasn't a lot of carbohydrate in that.
No.
And blueberries are not very, sugary.
Correct. And the yogurt, for some people who are dairy intolerant, can do a fermented, like they can do a soy or almond or whatever. They work around that for people with allergies.
Yeah.
Lunch and dinner are always the same. 4 ounces of meat for women and 6 ounces for men. 6 ounces of steamed vegetables. 6 ounces of grain.
Yeah, see, that's 6 ounces. That's
six
a lot.
And 6 ounces
good.
Of salad.
Uh-huh.
So for some people, the salad's a bit more and the steamed veggies are a bit more. It just depends on if you're losing too much weight. Your dinner's
the same. Meat and vegetables for lunch and dinner.
Yeah, the lunches and dinners were the same. It was this formula. It's like meat,
right.
A carb, a steamed veggie.
Well, I'm very glad that you had cooked vegetables and you had meat.
Because
those are important, and it sounds like it's sort of a balanced diet, different, food groups.
Yeah, very balanced,
And the fruit isn't excessive.
No.
You
can have a piece of fruit, I think, after lunch if you're losing weight and you need a little extra. And you space your breakfast 4 hours between breakfast and lunch and 5 between lunch and dinner, and that's it, three meals a day.
That's important, too.
Yep.
Yeah, that's important too.
Yeah.
And people could actually follow this?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why we're together. We support each other in doing it. So
okay.
Phenomenal success rate. Incredible
yeah.
physical and spiritual and emotional recovery.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, this
you know,
is...
I heard that Bill Wilson, who formed Alcoholics Anonymous, he was the originator,
mm-hmm.
that he learned about diet, but it was at the end of his life.
Yeah.
And it didn't go into the program. It
mm-hmm.
didn't go into the alcoholic program.
Right.
Because they needed all this, too. You know that. They
oh,
could
of course.
Use that diet, too.
Well, they often come off of alcohol and just start binging on sugar.
Yeah.
And then they'll come into our doors and they'll say, honest to God, coming off of alcohol was like a cakewalk. Coming off of heroin was a cakewalk. Cigarettes, and I always thought it was the worst addiction in the world. No, nothing compares. For these people who've had multiple
yeah.
addictions, they've said
yeah.
nothing compares to coming off of sugar.
Yeah, and you know what that diet is doing, too? It's just replenishing everything.
It is.
And so it's obviously a very good start. We work with... some very sick people, of course, and there are certain other principles. But that diet is not that far off.
No, no, no.
Diet
I think it's just
far.
Probably just slightly a bit more. Like there's no discouragement of fresh salads or dairy, I think. For some people, there's a bit
yeah.
of yogurt in the morning. But yeah, no, incredible. Like I've seen the miracles. It's such a no-brainer to me. I know people can heal. It doesn't matter what it is. They have.
That's right.
I've seen it.
That's right, and actually your program, I like it because it's nice and simple,
Very.
Simpler than ours,
yeah.
and it shows you how mixed up medical care is, doesn't it? In other words, billions of dollars are spent on diabetes alone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Diabetes alone, billions and billions.
Mm-hmm.
And what your program proves is that, you know, for many of those people, it's a completely
It's not
necessary.
100% reversible. There was never anybody in our group that remained diabetic. Nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Yeah.
And mainly, what
you did do is you cut out a lot of carbs for people.
It's all about what we're not eating.
Right. What we're not eating.
Correct.
You like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's.
And there were
like
vegetarians that came in and recovered just as well.
Oh, without the meat and without the eggs?
Or
did they start eating some of those?
It's a good question. No, they.
Yeah, I think you'd find that if they were stuck on their diet and living on rice and beans all day, they would not get the results.
No, they don't get rice and beans. They get their little 6 ounces for lunch and dinner. And often, if they
six
eat,
ounces
wait,
of what?
They
of
don't
meat.
Get. No. There's always
almond butter.
There's always at least 4 ounces of meat for women or men, but. If they're vegetarian, the only thing that changes is that would be 6 ounces of beans.
Oh, beans.
Everything else
okay.
is the same. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we just find that now maybe it's you know that our clients don't follow what we tell them to do because you know it's not easy. Your program has an advantage, which is the support.
For sure.
Yeah, and that's a yeah. very huge advantage of the 12-step programs, all of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you have a partner. And a sponsor,
yep.
and they keep after you, and they call you every day, and they work with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is a great advantage.
Yeah.
That is a great advantage. That's one of the, you know, beautiful parts of those programs.
Oh, for sure. The fellowship
you know, we don't,
is incredible.
We're not set up that way. We do yeah. have practitioners, but they're not the same as a personal
no.
sponsor.
No. No, for sure. Yeah, I know. I've been talking with a guy about that, Crookston in Calgary.
Yeah.
Trying to see if we can set up some more of the peer support.
Well, frankly, our program would be completely compatible
mm-hmm.
with a support system.
Yeah, for sure.
There's no problem there. But
yeah.
you're absolutely right that most diabetes goes away, and most, you know, I don't think all of it would, but a lot of diseases, they just vanish.
They do.
And it's all about nutrition, right?
Yeah.
It's all about food and nutrition.
Well, what you're not eating.
And what you're not eating.
Yep. Yeah.
Good.
So, yeah, I think that so for us, our program, what we taught us is don't get bogged down. If it's a whole food, you're going to recover. If you're into the processed stuff, you're not.
Yes. Well, that's another thing. Your program does not include all these smoothies and shakes.
Nope.
And a lot of people like all that, and they're being told on television that that's all you have to eat, you know. And we agree with you. Whole food.
Yep.
Not egg protein powder, but egg. Right.
Right.
And not whey protein powder, but
no. If anything's been added or taken away, it doesn't go in our bodies.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So that's another principle for getting over your sugar addiction. And, of course, a lot of these smoothies are really sweet.
Yeah.
People put honey in them, and they put fruit juice in them, which is not a whole food either.
No.
And it doesn't work.
No, there's no way it can. I mean, if it's a whole food, keep it simple. If it's a whole food,
that's the principle, whole foods.
Yep. Totally. Awesome. Okay, well, thank you for your time and expertise and for lining up. I'm working with Guy, so that's a real gift to me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's great that you're setting up other practitioners to be able to work with these whole food principles and keep it simple.
Yeah.
Because
we want simple meals. That's another thing.
Yeah.
People that have 5-course meals,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't work either. You know, they feel they got to have dessert and they got to have, you know, all this stuff. Want soups and salad, you know, all that.
Right.
We don't find you need to do that.
I'm curious to know why. Do you find it just not helpful, or do you find it detrimental for people?
Oh, detrimental. A lot of people have weak digestion, and that can be from eating sugar, of course.
No, sorry. Do you find for people who like fresh parsley or cilantro or lettuce?
A little bit of raw food is fine.
It's fine.
The reason that we don't encourage it is because it takes up your stomach, fills up your stomach easily.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Now, there's an advantage to that if you're a sugar addict or any kind of addict, because then you won't go out and, you know, go have ice cream after your meal, right?
Mm.
So there is an advantage to filling up your stomach.
Right.
But we would like people's stomach to be filled up with the cooked vegetables more, because those have more minerals. That's the only reason.
All right, okay.
But actually, there's nothing wrong with having a little salad.
I don't
want to give the idea that salad is a bad food.
Okay,
no.
I kind of had that impression.
All right,
that
I'm sorry. I'm glad we got to correct that.
Yeah.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. It's great fiber. You get some vitamins out of it. You get some minerals out of it. It's just that the human body doesn't break it down very well.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, especially if you're a food addict, filling up your stomach is a good thing if it'll keep you from eating something bad,
right?
Something you shouldn't have.
Yep.
The reason we don't encourage it, a little bit is fine, and
mm-hmm.
certainly a garnish or sprinkle it on your food or a little bit of salad is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason we don't encourage it is because we're trying to get people to eat more minerals, and the cooked tends to have more.
Yeah.
Even partially cooked, although we like things cooked soft.
Right.
So you get actually the most.
Yeah. For
so
sure.
No, it's not a bad food. Salad is not a bad food,
okay.
As long as it's clean. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we're not big on tomatoes. Certain salad things, cucumbers and tomatoes, are actually fruit.
Right.
Those are actually fruits. They're sweet and they're fruits. And we don't really want too much fruit. It is yin, again.
Mm-hmm.
The cooked vegetable is more yang. We like that about it, too, also.
Right. Great. Awesome. Well, thank you very much. So just let my audience know how they can get to your website again.
The website is drlwilson.com. That's D-R-L, like Dr. L. Wilson.com.
Fantastic.
There's lots of articles you can read there, and you can study the material.
Okay. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you very much, Florence. Thank you for asking me, and I hope this summit goes just wonderfully.
Thank you again.
Very important topic.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.